Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, it is finally Friday, Raider Nation. There's another game right around the corner. Of course, Sunday versus Chargers at Allegiant Stadium. I'll give you the latest injury report. Plus, it looks like a big-time defender for the Silver and Black will be back in action on Sunday. At least that's what it looks like right now. We'll tell you all about that. Plus, what will I be looking for in this game? I'll tell you about offense, defense, special teams, all three phases versus the Chargers. We'll talk about that in segment number two. And, of course, we'll close things out with your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. We'll do it all on Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, December 2nd, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Win.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team just every win. Day.
Just win.
You're a win as a Raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms. And I ain't going to lie to you, man. I'm really excited, really pumped up about this week's action. Another opportunity to be back at Allegiant Stadium, something that it seems like we haven't been at Allegiant Stadium forever. It's only been a couple of weeks, but man, it has seemed like a very long time. The one cool thing about this season so far for the Silver and Black is that they're backloaded with games at home. So excited to close out the season really strong at home. At least I'm anticipating the Raiders close it out really strong at home. And it starts this week with the Chargers as the Raiders are riding their two-game winning streak. There was a point in the season where it came to game day and you kind of felt like you knew what it was going to look like, right? You knew the outcome. Well, now the Raiders, through the last two games, being able to win those two games the way that they did it, walk-off fashion and overtime, has given a lot of Raider Nation at least some excitement and something to get pumped up and juiced about for a game day that comes up on Sunday. Today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast is being brought to you by BetOnline.net. They got you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline.net, that is where the games start. Want to go ahead and go over Thursday's injury report. We'll get another one later on this afternoon. Plus, we'll find out about 90 minutes out who's in and who's out on game day. So look for that injury report. If you follow me on Twitter, at yourboyq254, you'll definitely see it. I'll tweet it out as soon as I receive it. Head coach Josh McDaniels, we'll talk to him about 10:15, 10:30 this morning at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, Raiders HQ. Try to get a little bit more information from him as we get ready to get into the weekend and get into the game on Sunday. But let's go over the injury report for the Raiders and the Chargers as of Thursday. Guys that did not participate for the Silver and Black, just two. Kendall Vickers with the defensive tackle has a back injury. Remember, he didn't play last week. He was actually ruled out on Saturday. He was limited on Wednesday, did not participate on Thursday. For me, it feels like he's trending in the wrong direction. So most likely, just my gut feeling, he probably won't play on Sunday. And then tight end Jesper Horsted, concussion. He suffered that concussion on Sunday against the Seahawks. Didn't participate Wednesday, didn't participate Thursday. Most likely won't participate today and probably won't play on Sunday either. There's nothing you can do about a concussion. It's a concussion. You got to let it ride its course. And so not expecting to see Jesper Horsted out there. Thayer Munford, he acts as that that sixth offensive lineman, the extra tackle out there, which is a glorified tight end position. So most likely he's going to fill that void. Is he going to catch passes? Absolutely not, but he'll be out there as a blocker. So those are the two guys for the Raiders that did not participate on Thursday as guys that were limited. Defensive tackle Andrew Billings, dealing with the fibula injury, limited on Wednesday, limited on Thursday. Running back Brandon Bolden, calf injury, limited both Wednesday and Thursday. Also, Josh Jacobs with the calf injury, limited Wednesday and Thursday. And Denzel Perryman, dealing with the wrist injury, was not listed on Wednesday. Remember, that was a glorified walkthrough. Thursday, he was limited. And guys that practice in full participation, Lester Cotton Jr. with the calf injury, wasn't listed on Wednesday, fully participated on Thursday, so it sounds like he's better. Guard Alex Bars with the knee injury, not listed on Wednesday, fully participated on Thursday. Tackle Colton Miller, shoulder injury, limited on Wednesday, full participant on Thursday. So there you go. Sounds like most of the guys that you expect to be back. I'm still interested to see if Andrew Billings is going to be able to go on Sunday. I think that he's part of a really good little rotation when it comes to Jerry Tillery, Bilal Nichols, and Andrew Billings, and Clee Farrell as well. I don't want to leave Clee out. Seems like that they have a nice little rotation going. Would like to see Andrew Billings continue to be a part of that. As far as the Chargers goes, guys that did not participate, just three of them. Wide receiver Mike Williams dealing with the ankle injury. Most likely he's not going to play. Tackle Trey Pipkins III, knee injury, didn't participate Wednesday or Thursday. Most likely he's not going to play. And center Corey Linsley with a concussion, didn't participate Wednesday or Thursday. So that could be big time for the Chargers and their offensive line, their center and one of their tackles both being out. Now, it could change. They could actually practice today and then go on Sunday. But just my gut feeling, as I've been doing a little bit of previews with the Chargers the last couple days on Raider Nation Radio 920, feels like that they're not going to go on Sunday. But we'll see. You know, other stranger things have happened, right? Guys that were limited for the Chargers on Thursday, safety Nasir Adderley with a thumb injury, limited Wednesday and Thursday. And guys that participated fully, Bryce Callahan, the cornerback, is dealing with a groin injury, fully practiced. Derwin James, hip injury, fully practiced. And Khalil Mack, who was just dealing with a rest day on Wednesday as he didn't participate, fully practiced on Thursday. So there you go. That's the injury report for the Chargers. They're pretty healthy, except for the offensive linemen. Those are some guys to pay attention to. Of course, Mike Williams, he's been in and out of the lineup all season long and feels like he's not going to play either on Sunday. So you better watch out for Palmer and watch out for Eckler. Those are two guys that can still do damage. Of course, Justin Herbert can do what he does. Nate Hobbs, he looks like he's going to be available to return. He's practiced the last couple days for the Silver and Black. Again, Wednesday was just a walkthrough. He was out there, had a club on his hand. Thursday, he was out at practice, had a club on his hand, but he told reporters in the locker room he felt good. Talked about he didn't really need the club, but I think he's going to play with it just to protect his hand. But he was out there, and he was going through drills, and he was catching passes, you know, just going through, like I said, the defensive back drills. So he looks like he's going to be good to go. Will he be 100% as long as he's got a club on? No, and he probably won't be 100% even if he doesn't have a club on, just because he hasn't been out there in so long. But just to get him back into the mix and get him part of the rotation, a healthy body out there, and you know a healthy Nate Hobbs, or a close to possible as a healthy Nate Hobbs, is a good Nate Hobbs. So that'll be a welcome addition. I know a lot of folks have asked me about Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow. I don't think that they're even going to return until after the Rams game. I know they'll be eligible after Sunday's game versus the Chargers to come off IR, but head coach Josh McDaniels said it earlier in the week that, you know, he doesn't really want to put them out there without being able to practice, and it being such a short week going from the Chargers, 4 days later they're in LA playing the Rams. They probably won't get any practice in, so I would not expect to see those guys play Thursday against the Rams, but maybe following that, as they'll have a little bit extra time off, then they'll be able to return the following week if they, in fact, are healthy. So that's what I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, kind of news and notes of the day as we prepare for this upcoming game on Sunday versus the Chargers. Speaking of that game, what am I going to be looking for? I'll tell you about it offensively, defensively, special teams. I got all that coming up after I tell you about Prize Picks. And Prize Picks is daily fantasy made simple. You pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. And I mean any sport: NFL, NBA, NHL, PGA, college football. Of course, the championship games of this weekend. Starting tonight, Pac-12 championship at Allegiant Stadium, USC and Utah. That's going to be a fun one. College basketball is going on right now. Plenty of great sports are going on right now. The World Cup is happening. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states and in Canada. What you got to do right now is download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. You deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. You deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget, use that promo code Locked On to sign up for instant deposit match up to $100.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to talk about what I'm going to be looking for in this game coming up on Sunday versus Chargers at Allegiant Stadium. It kicks off at 1:25 Pacific Standard Time. You can hear that game on Raider Nation Radio 920 or wherever you hear or watch your games. And I've apparently a lot of the game is not, or a lot of areas in California is not going to have the game on TV. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't know what these television networks are doing with the Raider games. I know in the Bay Area sometimes it's blacked out, which is ridiculous. You know, sometimes in LA it's blacked out, which is ridiculous. I really don't know, but I know you can listen to the game on Raider Nation Radio 920 if you're in the area. You know, you can't stream it only to a certain extreme, and that's or a certain distance, and that's not a Raider Nation Radio rule. That's a NFL rule. They just won't let you do it. So there's that. But the game does kick off at 1:25. So what am I going to be looking for in this game? Let's start with the offense. One, protect the ball. The Raiders played the Chargers week one in L.A. Derek Carr did not protect the ball. He went in a little hype, went in trying to get Davante Adams involved in the game plan early and often and turned the ball over multiple times. Can't do that. Got to protect the ball. Don't allow the Chargers to have short fields. Don't allow Justin Herbert to have the ball on short fields, because even though they're banged up at the wide receiver position, I know Keenan Allen's back, but Mike Williams most likely won't be back. Man, those dudes don't need a short field to play with. So got to protect the ball. And you got to start fast. And what I mean by that is the Raiders need to be able to have a healthy dose of the run game and, of course, get Davante Adams involved in the passing game as well. But the Chargers are giving up 150-plus yards a game, right, on the ground. That's what they're doing. So the Raiders in week one, and I don't even know what the game plan was going into week one. I'm not sure if Josh McDaniels knew, because that was his first game as the Raiders head coach and his first opportunity to use all the weapons that he had out there. You know, they got behind early and they went away from the run. You can't get behind early and make your game one-dimensional. So the Raiders, to be able to execute the way they want to, they have to be able to start fast and not get behind by a couple scores early. Because if they do, Josh McDaniels is going to abandon the run and go pass, 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 pass. I go back to that number 55. Talked about it a few weeks ago, where you want to have the number 55 or more. And that's total runs plus total completions. Last week against the Seahawks, I believe the total runs and the completions equaled 65. The Raiders won. I know it hasn't always worked out that way, but you want to get as close to 55 as possible. You want to be as balanced as possible. You cannot be balanced if you get behind multiple scores early. Josh McDaniels is going to make Derek Carr throw the ball 40-plus times, and I just don't think that that's a good recipe for success. I don't like that recipe for anyone. I don't like that recipe for Derek Carr. This offense is based off of being as balanced as possible. Last week versus Seattle, the Raiders ran the ball 40 times, and Derek Carr had 25 completions. That's very balanced right there. Right, I think he was like 25 for 30 or 25 for 32, whatever. That is very balanced. They've got to be able to do that. Now, remember, that was an overtime game, so you can't always anticipate the extra snaps in overtime. But whatever that means, it doesn't matter. They still had 65. That was their total number. So I'm assuming that in regulation, they were as close as possible to 55. That's what they need to be. Again, I'm going back to that number. That's total completions by the quarterback and total rush attempts by the team. And if you get to 55, most likely you're going to get a win. So offensively, protect the ball, start fast, you know, be able to stay balanced with the run game. And obviously Davante Adams, I really like to see him go for 100 plus yards and a touchdown. You know, he's at 999 yards. Obviously he'll be over 1,000 by the time the game is over, but I like to see him get 100 plus yards through the air, obviously receiving, and get a touchdown, put another touchdown under his belt for 2022. Defensively, Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler, don't let those two guys wreck the game. How can they wreck the game? By big plays, allowing the Chargers to get big plays. If the Chargers are going to score points, make them travel the length of the field. Don't allow them to get one big chunk play, because that's what they're going to want to do. Make Justin Herbert be disciplined and take what's underneath, take the short stuff, right, and methodically go up and down the field. Now, he can do that, and I'm sure he will, but the more times he snaps the ball, the more times he puts it in the air, the more times there's a chance the defense can come up with a play. So got to eliminate the big plays. Don't let them beat you. Don't let them have a 2 or 3 play drive for a touchdown. Make them go the length of the field. It's got to be a drive, not big plays. Got to eliminate those. So I'm looking at Jerron Harmon, Trayvon Merrick at the back end. Protect, you know, that deep ball, protect those big plays. Make sure you come up and wrap up. You know, it's funny, I was doing ESPN National on Thursday night with Freddie Coleman. It's always fun to be on with him. And we were talking to the color commentator for the Chiefs, and I was asking him about the defense, and he said something to me that really stood out. He said, Q, in football, you have tacklers, you have guys that make tackles, and you have guys that make plays. And he said that the defense of the Chiefs, they have guys that make plays. And so that really resonated in my head, thinking, you know what, I'm looking at the Raiders defense. I'm saying, you know what, they have a lot of guys that make tackles, but they don't have a lot of guys that make plays. The Raiders need to make some plays. So that's my other key defensively is, you know, create a turnover or two, right? Get to Justin Herbert a couple times, right? Make plays. Go out there and make plays instead of just make tackles. So defensively, don't allow Eckler and Keenan Allen to wreck the game. Don't allow them to have those big play opportunities and go out and make some plays. Create a turnover to get to Justin Herbert, get him on the ground a couple times. Simple as that. I know it sounds simple. It isn't simple. Special teams-wise, I'm rolling with Amir Abdullah. Keep returning the ball. I'm actually pumped up when I see Amir Abdullah get the opportunity to return the ball. Whenever they kick it into the end zone and he lets it go down, I know that they're going to get it at the 25. I'm like, all right, that's cool. But really, I like to see Amir Abdullah with the ball in his hands. I do believe he's really close to breaking one. I said it last week that I thought he was going to break one. He didn't. He actually had a nice return. It didn't go all the way to the house. I think before the season's over, he's definitely going to take one to the house. It could be as early as this week. But let Amir Abdullah have more chances at it. Hopefully the Chargers kick the ball a little short. I'm sure that they've seen the same thing I'm seeing, that Amir is doing better and the blocking in front of him is doing a lot better. He doesn't have those big returns if the blocking's not there. So Amir Abdullah, keep returning the ball because, again, like I said, I do believe he's close to breaking one. Kick coverage, I think this has got to be on point early. If it's not on point early, if they kick it short and all of a sudden the Chargers have a nice return, just kick it through the end zone the rest of the time. Because DeAndre Carter, in my opinion, really nice kick returner for the Chargers. He averages about 20-plus yards a kick return and about 10-plus yards a punt return. But he does a good job, right? He's a guy that I think is a big-time weapon. He's got a lot of speed. So if the Raiders are able to kick it short and cover that up quickly, you know, then fine. But if it doesn't work early in the game, then just go ahead and kick the ball out of the end zone and let him start at the 25. I'll be okay with that. A.J. Cole, just keep flipping the field. He's been doing a really good job flipping the field and, you know, pinning opposing offenses deep in their own territory. Just keep on doing that. I'm good with that. But Amir Abdullah, I'm looking at you, man. Make me look smart, brother. I think he's going to return one. I think he's going to return one soon. It'd be nice to see the Raiders break that streak of how long they've been without someone actually taking one to the house on a kick return. I do believe Jacoby Ford was the last guy that did it. And we all know how long ago Jacoby Ford played with the Raiders. Matter of fact, there's some people that listen to this show that probably don't even know who Jacoby Ford is. It's been that long. So there's that. Overall, this is going to be one of my biggest themes the rest of the way, and really for a while for the Raiders. They need to start establishing who they are at home, at Allegiant Stadium. And I know a lot of fans get upset when they see opposing fans at Allegiant Stadium and making noise. And look, it's the nature of the beast when it comes to Vegas. They're going to do that. They want to come to Vegas. They want to go and see their favorite team play at Allegiant Stadium. They want to check out the stadium. At some point, that's going to start to die. But the Raiders need to start doing a better job just winning games at home. That's one way you discourage fans from coming to your place, is being dominant at home, right? I mean, when the Raiders headed to Seattle, one of the things I said was, man, that's a tough place to play. Nobody says that about Allegiant Stadium right now. That's a tough place to play. They've got to establish the winning tradition at Allegiant Stadium so opposing fans know, yeah, we're going to go spend our money to go there, but we know it's a tough place to play. Most likely, they're not going to win that game. Right now, opposing fans don't feel like that. The Raiders are 9-12 at home. In the history of Allegiant Stadium, that's got to be flipped around, right? And really, it's got to be way more dominant. Not even 12-9. 12-9 would be okay. It's got to be better than that, right? They've got to find a way to just become dominant at home. And again, this season, their schedule is backloaded with home games. They've got to be able to win those home games, right? They have this one, obviously, on Sunday versus the Chargers, but they still have home games against the Patriots, the Niners, and the Chiefs. Three more home games outside of this game on Sunday with the Chargers. So still four more home games this season. They've got to find a way to identify and show who they are at Allegiant Stadium and start making that place what Mark Davis said when he opened it up, you know, where opposing teams' dreams come to die. That's what they need to do, but the team hasn't been good enough at home yet. They are only 9-12. They've got to start establishing who they are at Allegiant Stadium, make that their home field. The more they win, the more the Raider Nation will be there, the louder we'll be, the less other fans you'll see there. It's just that simple. Winning cures all. So if you want to see more fans of the Raider Nation in Allegiant Stadium, the team on the field has to start winning more games. It is that simple. Folks are going to sell their tickets and allow other people to come in while they're not seeing a winning product. So that's what I got for you for segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, kind of what I'll be looking for in Sunday's game as I'm sitting there at the press box and I'm sitting there at the torch when I do the pregame show, or the pregame show. Q's kickoff is what we'd like to call it, from 10 a.m. to about 11:15 is when I'll be doing that, then pass the sticks on to JT the Brick and Eric Allen. So those are all the keys and all the things I'll be looking for in that game. Hopefully that'll lead to a Raiders victory. And on Monday, we'll be talking about, well, who gets a game ball and, you know, all that good stuff. Hearing some good sound from the locker room. Feel really good about the Raiders on a 3-game winning streak, but they got to get it done on Sunday versus the Chargers. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before we get to that, though, I do want to tell you about Audible, and Audible's releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you're going to love. Find Block Forever now wherever you get your podcasts. Block Forever is a brand new podcast from former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil and Audible. He'll take the conversation about football and he'll take it to the next level. Gives football fans an insider's look at the game through the eyes of the greatest players and personalities of all time. He'll sit down with star players, coaches, former pros across the league, and they get real about everything from what happens on the road at the hotel, team meetings, locker room action, anything behind the scenes. He'll let you hear about it, and you'll hear about it from guys like Christian McCaffrey, Juju Smith-Schuster, and a whole lot of others. Matter of fact, Juju will tell you about his honest opinions on other players and positions across the league. Christian McCaffrey, he has a love-hate relationship with fantasy football. He'll tell you about that as well. New episodes of Block Forever will be recorded and released every week ahead of Thursday Night Football. Ryan and guests will discuss topics like player psyches, sports betting, playing through pain, and a whole lot more. Catch the full Block Forever series available anywhere you get your podcast. Available everywhere right now. Audible, get in the game.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Raider Lou from the Pacific Northwest. He's calling to talk about his very first Raider game he went to, and it just happened to be last Sunday's win versus Seahawks. Here he is, Raider Lou from the Pacific Northwest.
Yo, Q. This is Raider Lou in the Pacific Northwest. First time caller, big fan of your show. Listen to it each and every morning on my way to work. I went to my very first Raiders game last Sunday against the Seahawks. It was absolutely incredible. I don't even know how to describe it. I've been thinking about it every single day. And I posted a video that I took on the very last play of the game from a particularly nice angle, I would say. And hopefully you could play the clip. I sent it over. I posted it on the subreddit. If you're on the Raiders subreddit, you might have seen it. I went absolutely crazy, and I was just hoping that you could play it on your show for the listeners of the Locked On Raiders podcast to just hear my voice and my passion, because I absolutely lost it. And hopefully you guys hear it and just channel that energy into Sunday. We got this. Derek Carr, I believe in you, baby. I believe in you. Josh Jacobs, that is a football player right there, as Josh McDaniel said. Devontae Adams, he's the man. We already know this. Max Crosby, relentless. The Condor, Raiders. Let's go, baby.
Thank you so much for the call, my man. I appreciate you, and it's great to hear. I'm glad you had a really good time, and obviously you saw a hell of a thriller for the first game. That's really cool. I did see the video that you sent by way of text message of you in the stands and celebrating when Josh Jacobs had that 86-yard run to the house. And I'm not going to put the audio on there just because I got a lot to get to. But let's just say, Raider Nation, my man was celebrating, had some colorful language out there. But you could tell, just like a lot of Raider Nation was when Josh Jacobs broke that run, just like I was at my mama's house watching the game, fired up when Josh Jacobs broke that run. So just the way you felt is the way that Raider Lou was feeling as well. Thank you so much for that call, my man. I do appreciate you. Next up, I got a text from San Diego Raiders fan. He says, hey, Q, I hope you and your loved ones are doing well. The key to victory this week seems clear. Feed JJ28. I'm rooting extra hard for a victory this week. Being from San Diego, it's even more miserable when I have to hear from fairweather choker fans. So if the Raiders could just spare me that misery this holiday season, that'd be great. As always, Raider Nation for Life, signed Raiders fan in San Diego. Thank you for that text, my man. I do appreciate you. And it's funny, feed JJ28. I mentioned in segment number two, things I'll be looking for, the Raiders to run, you know, around that .150 that the Chargers are giving up on the ground. That could be Josh Jacobs himself. That could be JJ and a combination of Zamir White and Amir Abdullah. I mean, whatever the case may be, I do think that they're going to have Zamir White, you know, kind of spell Josh Jacobs a little bit more than we've seen as of late, just to try to keep him a little bit healthy, especially with the Rams game coming up on Thursday as well. You got to remember, they're playing on a short week. So I think that a lot of that is going to have to do with it. So you might see Zamir White a little bit more than you've seen him so far this season, trying to keep Josh Jacobs as healthy as possible. But I'm looking for a buck 50 on the ground, man. they can get that $150 that the Chargers are giving up, that's what their average is, then they're going to be doing just fine, right? The only game that the Chargers haven't given up 100 yards this season or 90-something yards this season is the first game against the Raiders where they only gave up 60-something yards, and that's going back to my point I made in segment number two because they got behind early and they went away from the run game. Thank you so much for that text. I appreciate you. Next up, I got a call from Emilio from Rancho Cordova calling to talk about Sunday's game versus the Chargers. Here he is, Emilio from Rancho Cordova.
Hey, Q. This is Emilio from Rancho Cordova again. I was just calling because going into this matchup with the Chargers, it's going to be a really good one. I believe that this matchup is going to be a very similar outcome to how it was last year, the last game of the year, really close, probably in overtime, really hard-fought win like these last couple of weeks have been, but I just feel like if the Raiders could continue to play like they've been playing offensive-wise and the defense improve, because I know the first time we played the Chargers, we gave up a lot of points in the first half, but in the second half, we didn't give up any points. So I feel like if the Raiders can hold the Chargers to at least about probably like 20 points, 21 points, then we have a good chance of winning. And, you know, if we get a key fumble or interception or something like that, that would help out really too. Max Crosby and hopefully Chandler Jones can get his first sack, get some pressure on him, on Justin Herbert. That'd be good, too. And offensive-wise, I know that the Chargers are really bad on defense, stopping the run. So if we could continue to feed Josh Jacobs the ball and allow him to, you know, go crazy, that will open up the pass game for Davante Adams and all the other players. I feel like Foster Moreau, he needs a step up. I know last game he got that touchdown, but he did drop a few balls, that one on that third down when we needed it, and he dropped it. And then the other one when it was more on him, I guess you could say. He dropped the ball and, you know, got in the air and got intercepted again. So, yeah. Those are my thoughts on this week's game. Going into this game, I just know really high hopes and really believe the Raiders can pull this off. And if we could pull this off, then I believe it will give us all Raider Nation and especially the team confidence going into these next games that we can win out. So, that's all I got, Q. Keep doing your thing. And go Raiders.
Thank you so much for the call, my man. I appreciate you. And, yeah, I do think it's going to be a close game, right? The Chargers, they're definitely not going to roll over and die. They're going to fight to the end. You saw what they did last week against the Cardinals. They're going to definitely fight to the end. Holding them to around 20, 24 points, I think that's really the sweet spot for the Raiders' defense. And then it gives the offense an opportunity to go and make plays and go and win that game. But you got to be, like you said, 20 to 21 would be ideal, but I'll even give them 24 points. I think that the Raiders' offense is good enough to get 24-plus points against the Chargers. Their defense isn't all that it was supposed to be, so I definitely think the Raiders could do it. They just got to go out there and make it happen. So thank you so much for that call. Just got time for a couple more. We got a text from Raider Cal. Hey, Q, Raider Cal, I know you talked about this already, but when Josh McDaniels said we're the Raiders after that missed call during the press conference, I felt different about him. I'm once a Raider, always a Raider. Is he a Raider? We need some attitude, I think. When I became a Raiders fan back in the day, I learned that being a Raiders fan is not just a choice, it's a lifestyle. I've also been told from other Canadian fans at work, it takes a special kind of person to be a Raider fan. It's tough to beat Gruden, though. Watching him as good as watching the game. Gruden was a Raider. But is Josh? Anyway, I'll be listening. Thanks, Q. That's from Raider Cal. And I'll say this, man. I feel like ever since he's become the Raiders head coach, he's really embraced Raider Nation. He's embraced being a Raider, from the tip of the cap to Cliff Branch during the Hall of Fame game to "We're the Raiders" comment that he made just the other day. I mean, there's been a lot of different times where he's embraced being a member of the Silver and Black. So I do think that he enjoys being the Raiders head coach and being a part of the Raiders organization. I really do. I mean, I could be wrong, but I really feel strongly that he's definitely, you know, open arms to being a Raider. I really do believe that. And again, Gruden was a character, so he had his own faces he made. He used to get fired up at the officials, and so it just felt right. But, you know, your friends at work that say it takes a special kind of person to be a Raider fan and it takes a special kind of person to be a Raider coach, they're not wrong. The Raiders are just different. There's all the other teams. There's 31 teams in the league, and then there's the Raiders. So thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. Got time for one more call. Vegas Austin, he's calling to talk about the win versus Seattle, then talks about the P word and the Raiders' chances to make it to that magical place. Here he is, Vegas Austin.
What it do, Q? It's your boy Vegas Austin calling in after the victory over Seattle. Loved what I saw on all sides of the ball. Really liked Carr's poise. Defense looked great. Got some turnovers. Not a perfect game. It went to OT, and that really shouldn't happen with a team that's dominant in the game. But overall, I felt really good about it. And, you know, the thing I wanted to bring up is I think a thing that's on a lot of Raiders' minds and kind of happens, at least to me, every time we're sort of in the hunt or even like not in the hunt but still have a prayer of making the playoffs, and that's, you know, hope of making the playoffs. I know we all care about the future of the team and what guys are looking good long term, but you know, this season you want to make the playoffs. And right now we're sitting at a 4% chance. I used a statistical website, and I know you're not a big fan of stats, but they got us at 4% right now. But what's interesting is how our odds change if we win more games. So if we win this weekend against Chargers, it goes up to 9. Rams win 15. Pats win 21%. Steelers win 33%. And, you know, I think all those games are winnable. Honestly, I think the Chargers is the best team on that four-game schedule. Then we face the 49ers in New Year's. And if we win that game, we're up to 58% chance. And then the Almighty Chiefs is our last game of the season. And that's a win there puts us up to 95% chance. So Raider Nation, there's still a chance. Obviously, those last two games are tough opponents. And, you know, we've seen losses to teams that aren't even, you know, good or in the hunt. So very optimistic, obviously. But just wanted to throw out those numbers and, you know, hear about how you feel about the playoffs. Are you not even thinking about it because, you know, it's a long shot? Are you more focused on long term, or are you like me where there's still a hope? Always get to listen to you. First listen each and every day. Peace out.
Thank you for the call, brother. I do appreciate you. And I'm not even in that conversation right now when it comes to the P word. This team has got to win this game. This team has got to win on Thursday on a short week against the Rams before that word even crosses my mind. And then they still got to win some more, right? I mean, they've got to win the next two. They'll be sitting at 6-7 if they can do that. And I really don't even like to do this. I want to take it game by game. But depending on what happens, you know, when they catch the Chargers, if they catch the Chargers, and they're right there in front of them, Chargers have 6 wins, the Raiders have 4. If they're able to catch the Chargers, and all of a sudden we're looking at the standings in the AFC West and the Raiders are sitting in second place, maybe we can have that conversation then. But right now with 4 wins, I'm not worried about the P word. I'm worried about the W word, wins. That's it. Just go out, just like your motto is, just win, baby. Win one game this week, win a game on Thursday against the Rams, and then we'll start talking about, you know, what's next, right? I mean, and that's all you really can do. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself at all. So there you go. That's all I got time for on today's show. We got a text from Danny V from the 818, but I promise we'll get that in on Monday's show because it's a really good text that I think will take longer than just a couple seconds to talk about and break down. So Danny V from the 818 got a really good text. We'll get to it, and we'll get to it on Monday here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Again, Raider Nation, thanks so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the show free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube. Thanks to my man Ari at Ari Produces on Twitter. Make sure we do what it do, and he makes sure he continues to make this YouTube page go, and we do appreciate him for that. So Raider Nation, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game. If you're going to be at Allegiant Stadium, come by the torch. Say what's up. I'll be there as early as around 9:30, and I'll stay there till probably about noon. I know that Cliff Branch and his family Cliff Branch's family is going to be receiving his Hall of Fame ring at the game on Sunday. And around noon, behind Section 206, there's actually going to be a ceremony where his number is going to get put up on the Hall of Fame wall, just like Richard Seymour did just a couple weeks ago. So if you want to check that out, be at the Section 206, behind Section 206, around noon on Sunday to check that out. I'm sure Mark Davis will be there in the casting characters of a bunch of different Raiders, so go check that out. So that's all I got time for today, Raider Nation. I definitely appreciate you. Like I said, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and we'll talk again on Monday, and hopefully it's a victory Monday. Until then, Raider Nation, take care of yourself, take care of your family, love on your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.